Hello and welcome to the Master of Demon Gorge podcast. Today we're talking about Fusang. In 499 AD, during the period in Chinese history known as the North and South Dynasties, in the southern kingdom called Qi, a monk named Hui Shen came into the city of Jingzhou. He announced that he had returned to China after a long trip abroad. Specifically, he said, he had just been to what is now Mexico. And he would be happy to tell anyone who would listen all about that faraway country. If you're paying any attention at all, you're probably saying now, wait, what? What are you talking about? Who are you talking about? And did you just say 499 AD and Mexico? Yes. Yes, I did. And yes, the claim here is that a 5th century Chinese Buddhist monk traveled to what is now Mexico, or possibly somewhere else on the west coast of North America, and then returned to China in 499 AD to tell the tale. But don't take my word for it. I am simply reporting to you the conclusion that numerous scholars and writers from both East and West have reached. The original Chinese annals, compiled in the 7th century, reported that the monk Hui Shen claimed to have visited a place called Fusang. The original Chinese source obviously didn't equate Fusang with modern-day Mexico. But then, in 1761, the famous French sinologist Joseph de Guine published both an article and a book on the subject. The book was called Recherche sur les navigations des Chinois du Côte de l'Amérique. And in both, he reached the conclusion that the mysterious country of Fusang, named in the Chinese sources, was located in modern-day Mexico. In other words, Hui Shen, the Chinese monk, and perhaps other companions, reached the Americas by the late 5th century. And, side note, we have, of course, mentioned Joseph de Guine on this podcast before. He was the one who proposed that the people known to the Chinese as the Xiongnu were the same as the people known to Europeans as the Huns, a theory that Edward Gibbon then adopted and popularized in his Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. 18th century world maps produced by the French, including one made in 1753 and another in 1792, located Fusang des Chinois, or Fusang of the Chinese, at what is now British Columbia in Western Canada. In 1875, the eminent American humorist, journalist, and folklore scholar Charles Godfrey Leland published a book called Fusang or the Discovery of America by Chinese Buddhist Priests in the 5th century. In 1885, American author Edward Payson Vining published a book called An Inglorious Columbus, evidence that Hui Shen and a party of Buddhist monks from Afghanistan discovered America in the 5th century AD. Interestingly, from what I could find out about Mr. Vining, he appeared to have been chiefly a Shakespearean scholar, and he lived long enough to participate in early cinema, so much so that the man has an IMDb page on which he is listed as one of the screenwriters for a 1921 silent film version of Hamlet, in which Prince Hamlet was gender-swapped to become a princess. Then in 1908, the famous and highly influential Chinese scholar Zhang Taiyan, whom we talked about in our recent episode on the making of modern Mandarin, published a book claiming that, actually, Huixin wasn't even the first Chinese to reach the Americas. That honor belonged to another Buddhist monk named Fa Xian. According to Zhang Taiyan, Fa Xian reached the Americas decades earlier in the first years of the 5th century. Specifically, Zhang Taiyan thought Fa Xian reached what is now Ecuador. Later in the 20th century, a Chicago patent attorney and would-be archaeologist named Henriette Mertz doubled down on the propositions of De Guin and Leland and went even further. She self-published a book called Pale Ink, Two Ancient Records of Chinese Exploration in America. Not only did Huixin reach Mexico, she claimed, but Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent god of the Aztecs, represented none other than Huixin himself. Sadly for Mertz, professional scholars rejected her speculations outright as pseudo-archaeology. But then in 1962, the Chinese scholar Zhu Qianzhi published a book called A Study of the Discovery of the Americas by Chinese Monks 1,000 Years Before Columbus, which obviously again echoed De Guin's claims. Okay, let's back up a moment and look at what the original Chinese source actually says about this country, Fusang. The source in question is the Book of Liang, completed in 636 AD during the early Tang Dynasty by a man named Yao Silian. And it chiefly recorded the events pertaining to the Kingdom of Liang, one of the regimes of the North and South Dynasties, which survived from 502 to 557 AD. A slightly later work, The History of the South, relied entirely on the Book of Liang for its account of Fusang, in fact copying the relevant passage word for word. So let's look at what it says in the Book of Liang. Here's a quick translation by yours truly of the relevant passage, which comes under a chapter called The Various Barbarian Kingdoms to the East. In the first year of Yongyuan, i.e. 499, a monk named Huixin came to the city of Jingzhou. He said, Fusang is some 20,000 li east of China. It is dotted with the tree called Fusang, hence the country's name. The Fusang tree has leaves like those of the Chinese parasol tree, but when young they resemble bamboo shoots, which the people of Fusang eat. Its fruits are like pears but are red, and its barks can be made into cloth and clothes. The country has houses, but no walled cities. The people have a written language, and they use the bark of the Fusang tree like paper. They have no armies and do not engage in war. The country's laws provide for two prisons, one in the north and one in the south. Those guilty of minor crimes are sent to the southern prison. Those guilty of serious crimes are sent to the northern one, and if pardoned, they are removed to the south. In the northern prison, men and women have children. Boys thus born become slaves at age 8, and girls become maidservants at age 9. Prisoners are sentenced to life. Where an aristocrat is found guilty of a crime, the nation holds a meeting at which the prisoner is seated in a pit while others come to him to drink to him as though bidding him farewell. A crime of a low level of seriousness affects only the person who committed it. A more serious crime leads to consequences for his children. A truly serious crime can impact his descendants down to the seventh generation. The king of the country is called Yiqi. A grandee is called Duilu. A lesser grandee is a small Duilu. A yet lesser aristocrat is called Na Zhuo Sha. There is a kind of ox in the country with rather long horns, which can be used to carry items. They have horse carriages, ox carts, and deer carts. The people raise deer, as the Chinese raise oxen. They have no iron in the country, but they have copper. They do not value gold or silver. In the second year of Da Ming, of the Kingdom of Song, that's 458 AD, five Buddhist monks from the country of Jibing, that's Kabul in today's Afghanistan, traveled to Fusang and spread Buddhism. In the ensuing years, the country's culture changed accordingly. Okay, so that's what it says in the Book of Liang. Why did this description lead scholars like De Guin to the conclusion that Fusang was in modern-day Mexico? Well, there's the distance from China, over 20,000 li, which would put Fusang somewhere on the west coast of the Americas, given the contemporaneous definition of a li. The cotton tree, indigenous to Mexico, according to De Guin, fits all the descriptions in the Book of Liang of the Fusang tree. A leader of the Mayans, apparently, was called a Duilu, exactly the title the Book of Liang says was given to a Fusang lord. The Mayans also apparently, indeed, kept two prisons, one in the north and one in the south. And apparently, they indeed enslaved the male children of prisoners at the age of 8 and the female ones at the age of 9. So far, so credible. But there is that pesky reference to horses. There were no horses in the Americas until the Spanish brought them post-Columbus. If we are to be charitable, we can perhaps believe that Hui Shen didn't literally mean horses when he said horses, but something similar, like llamas. But then, neither did the Mayans domesticate deer, as the Book of Liang describes. In 1831, the German linguist and orientalist Heinrich Julius Klaproth published an article refuting De Guin's claims, indeed ridiculing them. Klaproth believed that 5th century Chinese did not have the navigational skills or technology to sail across the entire expanse of the Pacific. It's perhaps worth remembering here that Joseph De Guin also came up with some other outlandish theories. For example, the idea that the Chinese are actually descended from ancient Egyptians. An alternative theory is that Fusang was located somewhere in today's Japan. One issue with this idea is that the ancient Chinese typically referred to what we now understand as Japan, as the country of Wu. And the Book of Liang separately discusses Wu and specifically says that the country of Fusang was not one previously known to the Chinese, making it clear that Fusang and Wu were two different places. However, this was the 5th century AD, before Japan coalesced into a single nation. Many different polities would have existed across the Japanese archipelago, which Chinese visitors would have rightly considered distinct countries. But obviously, anywhere in Japan was not 20,000 li away from China, not even close. Even so, in literary usage in Chinese poetry, Fusang became another word for Japan. Ultimately, we cannot know for sure, of course, where Fusang was or if it was even meant to be a real place. You are free to judge for yourself how credible it is to place it in modern-day Mexico. In weighing the credibility of not only the Ginz theory, but also Huishen's report, as recorded in the Book of Liang, however, I just want to bring to your attention what Huishen went on to say after giving his description of Fusang. Some 1,000 or so li east of Fusang is a country of women who have an attractive appearance and skin that is fairly white. Their bodies are hairy. They give birth after pregnancies of only 6 to 7 months. They have no breasts, but the hair on the backs of their heads secrete milk with which they feed their children. The children are able to walk 100 days after birth and are fully grown after only 3 or 4 years. Then Huishen also said, in the 6th year of Tianjian, that's 507 AD, a man from Jing'an crossed the sea and was blown by the wind onto an island. On this island, the women are like the women of China, although their speech is incomprehensible. The men, on the other hand, have human bodies and the heads of dogs, and they bark like dogs. To my mind, Huishen's further descriptions of these other places seem clearly mythological. They can't be real places. Perhaps his account of Fusang should be understood in the same light. This has been MODG. Thank you for listening.